add it. Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Me too. I was talking something without praying first.
That means the wheel already turned. Lord, we do thank you for this night. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity once again to meet together, to look into your word. We're praying for tonight a little more insight into your purpose and plan. Just to hear from you, to establish us, to strengthen us, to encourage us in this walk. We pray tonight that what we do learn, that the Holy Spirit would take these words and lift them off the pages and into our hearts. And for above all things, to get closer to you and to find out what the Lord has done for us on our behalf. And we thank you that he has provided salvation for us. And we pray as we go forward that the Holy Spirit would be our instructor and be our enlightener. And the things that we learn, that we might be able to apply to our lives, to do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We thank you for all those here. Lord, help us clear our minds and receive the word. And we pray that the time that we spend here would be to your glory and for our edification. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Second, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think this is something we really all can benefit from it. Well, anytime we look into the word, it's a benefit. But he says this in chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. He says, I exhort, therefore, this is Paul. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's actually writing to Timothy to instruct him how to manage a local assembly. What this would be like a local assembly, just where believers meet, and believers, they're meeting there to be established and to be educated. It's a lot different than what happens today, where believers meet now to be entertained. But that was never the purpose for a local assembly. When they come together, they want to know, number one, who is God? When they become believers, what is he doing and what does he want me to do? Not what is he going to give me, and how can I be rich and prosperous? It's totally different from the way it was designed to what we see today. So what we spend our time is pretty much re-educating each other about what God is really doing and what God really wants. And sometimes when you hear that, it's foreign. You know, you're just like, wow, I never heard that before. And here, one of the things that God wants us to know is what he's doing today. And so we spend a lot of time playing catch up. I won't say here, but most times the information that you hear, it's trying to bring us back to where God really wants us to be. So he writes to Timothy and he's telling him that how to conduct himself in this assembly. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And we're going to stop right there. But the thing I was looking at is Paul's writing. And he says, it's God's will, his desire, that all men be what? that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's two different things, right? And the first thing is whose will? It's God's will that all men be saved. And we have the benefit of reading what we call God's word, and it is his word. And for us, just we take it for granted that we pick it up and this is God's word. We don't, when I say we believers, take it for granted, but we just didn't get there. You know, we had to hear some facts to give us the confidence that this is God's word. Because you can go somewhere else and they will say, well, I think it's in the Quran. Or you go over here and it says, well, I think it's in these books or this book. Or I don't think it's there at all. But we're basing, we got a lot at stake on this, don't we? I just saw this guy from Michigan. He just won the poker, the
big lottery.
Oh no, it was a poker. Like,
poker. He was the main guy.
And the World Series of Poker.
There you go.
And you know, when they push him in, he pushed the chips in, and he's all in.
Yeah.
Everything I have is, I'm betting on this being right. And so we're all in with this. We're betting on the scripture that everything is right. Because if one thing, you know, I'm going to deviate for a minute. I was reading something today at lunchtime, and it was about the Lord. I'm going to get back to this in a minute. I just have to say this. It was about, it was the Passover, where he was telling the verse said that he took Peter, James, and John. He said it was after 6 days. And then another passage in Luke said it was about 8 days. Which means that would be what? 7 days. But the reason I said that, where he's eating, he says, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And I thought, you know, you hear different things. It's like, why is he wanting to eat this Passover? And they would say, well, that wasn't the Passover. And it just came to my mind. It was, it had to be the Passover. He was eating the Passover in advance because he was the Passover, the Passover. The reason I said that it had to be because the Passover was a required feast. If he had missed the Passover, he wouldn't have fulfilled all righteousness. So it would have been, they could have said, well, he missed the Passover.
Yeah.
And see, it's little things like that where God, he's got it all checked out for you, for us to have confidence in his word. So when he says that he died for your sins, his righteousness becomes your righteousness, you can trust him.
He was righteous.
He had it all covered. Just little things like that where you just read over and then he said, I got this thing covered for you. I got it all covered. Psalm 19. Hold your hand in Timothy. Psalm 19. Now, this is interactive. Shira. If I say something, Stop me, and you can ask a question. We're after clarity. Psalm 19. You know, people always say, they say, well, man wrote this. You can't really trust it. So if I can't trust the words, then I can't trust the person who said those things, right? So you have to establish this fact that I can trust this. And the scripture has not always been completed. You did know that, right? This has been compiled together over years, right? Did you know that? Well, we know that now. It's been compiled. But there was a time where God spoke, and it was a, we call it a natural revelation. So you got, we'll just make that heaven, right? And all the things that we see, you know, the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, that type of thing. Psalm 19, verse 1. He says, the heavens declare the what? The glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament is what we, you look out there and you see. You see the stars out there? He said, the firmament declareth or showeth his handiwork. His what? Handiwork. I like that. That means it just didn't happen. Handiwork, you can look at that and say, somebody did this. He created it. He says, day unto day uttereth what?
Speech.
Did you hear that? Uttereth what?
Speech.
Uttereth speech. That means the heavens do what?
They speak.
They speak. They talk to you. So if you can't record anything until somebody what?
Speaks.
So he says, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We're in the United States, right? Well, okay, we were just in Africa.
Can still see it, can't you?
Same speech in his language, right? Mexico, different location, same message. Right? Wherever you want to go. He said, there is no what? There's no speech or what?
Language.
Language where you can't hear this. And what is the message? You just said it. The message was, I created this. I did. I, meaning God, right? And he's revealing himself. See, if God created the universe and the world and the people, if the people were a result of God's doing, right? And he wants to communicate with us, it's his responsibility to do what?
Speak.
To speak. To make himself known. Right? Because I can't trust him until I what?
You know him.
Until I know him, until I hear him. That's what Paul says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the
word of God.
If he doesn't say anything, guess what?
We don't know anything.
I don't know anything. And you can't hold me accountable. And God says, I don't want you, I want you to know me. You know, that's one of the differences between human beings and animals, is that we have the ability to communicate with each other verbally. I'm not talking about making sounds like they do, making instinct sounds and actions. I'm talking about communication on an intimate level. And we do that because we have a vocabulary.
I'm not going to argue.
We can talk. Okay. So he says there's no language or speech where they cannot be heard. He says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the what? End of the world. That's everybody. So God is, he's making himself known. Romans chapter 1. He says in verse 18, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So God is, this is God is angry. And he has, he said, well, what is God angry about? Or he's saying that there's, I have some punishment stored up. Why would you want to punish anybody, God? And he says, because you're holding the truth in what?
In unrighteousness.
And ungodliness. He says, verse 19, and this is how you're doing it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them.
In us, right?
He says, for the invisible things of him, being God, the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, are what? The invisible things of God from the creation are clearly seen. That's what you call an oxymoron.
Yeah.
So he says the invisible things of him. You can look right at him. You know how that is? What are the invisible things of God? He's going to tell you. He says the visible things of him are clearly seen from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, even his what?
Eternal power
and what?
Eternal.
And Godhead. He says, that's the invisible things. The invisible things is his eternal power and what?
Godhead.
And Godhead. Well, what is that? We know the eternal power, that's what created it. That's what keeps it in motion. That's what keeps it in order. The Godhead is all those things we talk about: his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his love, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his what's the other one? All those his mercy, his graciousness, all that. He says you can see that. He says the internal, his eternal power in Godhead. But the thing is, he said they what?
They're without excuse.
They are without excuse. And not only that, he says, yeah, it's in you.
Right.
You saw that, that spoke to you, and this speaks to you. This. On the left side. And I'm not talking about this thing that pumps blood. I'm talking about it's something that's deep inside of us, spiritual, on a spiritual level, that you can say, you know what? Why am I here? What am I here for? It's a verse in Psalms and Hebrews. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Can you look at yourself and you can see that wrapped up in this ugly body is something divine, that you know that it just didn't happen. I was reading an article in the paper, and it says, we just found another muscle in the body. Okay. But, and we were talking about this, just our bodies. You know, you have about seven systems that work without you doing anything at all. That's one of them working right there. You know. Oh, sir, right. But, you know, the circulatory system, skeletal system, muscular system, neural system, all those systems working like clockwork. David says, I'm fearfully and what?
Wonderfully
made. And you know what? It's not like God was up in heaven molding men and pushing them out. His eternal power in Godhead set a process in motion that when Adam, our progenitor, our father and mother, he set that process in motion. And all he had to do was wind it up and watch it go. Even after Adam sinned, it still works. And it works so well that we don't all come out deformed, do we?
No.
Frank barely made it, but he's here, right?
Sorry, Frank.
But all these things are, it's God. He's making it so you don't have an excuse for believing that there's a God. Don't tell me that you came from a Big Bang. Don't tell me you came from a tadpole, or don't tell me you came from this. You have to attribute it to his eternal power in Godhead. He says you're without excuse. No. And even he goes even further than that, where he begins to take that word and he begins to record it. He'll pick out people. He picks out people as he goes through time, and he says, write this down so that they will be without excuse. Job said this, oh, that my words were written in a rock. And God says, okay, pick the rock up then. Because now it's what?
It's a book.
And you know, the Bible is still the bestseller, widely circulated in multiple countries, multiple languages. He says, just like they were without excuse there, he says, you're out without excuse now. You won't get up there and say, I didn't know.
I couldn't find it in that book.
He would say, no, you know, you didn't want to know. But he's doing all that because it's his will, it's his desire that all men be what?
Saved.
And come to the knowledge of the truth.
Can I just say, Frank, about something that you said? It's why I don't believe that an atheist doesn't believe. He doesn't want to believe what you just said, you know. He's a rebel. Because like it says right here, God's revealed it to all of us. It's revealed it to him, too. He just doesn't want to follow it, so he makes the claim that he doesn't believe.
What would make a man, an atheist or even an agnostic, what would make him, well, you're not one, but I'm saying you have to kind of be in his shoes. What would make a man not want to believe in God?
Because he doesn't believe that anybody has a higher power than him.
Because
he has the power to rule himself. He doesn't need someone to look up to.
Right. Authority.
Right. He's weak.
You don't want somebody else telling you
what to do,
and not only that, that what you've done is wrong.
Right.
That's the... Because that means you always default to authority because somebody has a higher rank than you.
You just described it, Frank. My wife was here, she would have jumped up and applauded you.
but that's the thing, and then not to get too far off, look at Acts 17. You know what? Let's stay back in Romans. Don't go there yet. I don't want to go too fast. But he says he's leaving us without excuse, right? And he says, because when they knew God, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what happens. That's where we are now. We have a nation, not just the United States. We have a universe full of fools. And I don't say fools, meaning fools in a intellectual sense. They're fools in a spiritual sense because we're very smart people. But if when God looks at it, he said the wisdom of this world is foolishness with him because they've left out him.
The Spirit of God.
That's why we do everything, because we are autonomous. You know what that means? Self-law. We're self-governed people. I don't like it, so it's wrong. Who says? I said. Oh, well, it must be right then. But we have to go with the authority. That's what the book is. If somebody higher wrote it, he said, this is the ultimate authority because it's God's word. Well, is it really? Well, let's attack that then. That's not his word. We go through this year after year after year with people questioning that book. And it's not really the book. If that's right, then I have to make some changes. Right? And he says, you need to be saved. And you says, no, I don't. He says, yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. So, if you don't like it, what do you do?
There's the door.
But sooner or later, you're going to find out that he was really that authority. But he says, here's the time, though. He says, because days coming where I'm going to make my enemies bow down and recognize. And it won't be a good day. This is a good day. Today is the day of salvation. And if I'm going to try to squeeze this in. So he says, but what I like is this, is he's always making himself known. Because it's not God willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a change of mind. Now, Acts 17. Here's Paul again. He's making his rounds in Acts 17, verse 16. He says this, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to what? Idolatry. What is idolatry?
Idol worshiping.
What's an idol? It could be anything.
Yeah.
Anything except?
Yeah.
Except the true authority. He says, he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What does that mean? Completely. given to idolatry.
Oh, could I just say something?
You can say something.
The idol doesn't speak.
Thank you. He it doesn't what?
It doesn't speak. So I can do anything I want.
I'm my own boss. Do you see why it's easy to do that? He says, verse 7. Let's keep going. Therefore, because the city was wholly given to idolatry, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans, you know what an Epicurean is? Those are the people where they get the slogan that says, let's eat, drink, and be, because tomorrow
we may die.
We die. Those are the people that didn't recognize any God. It was all about pleasure.
Right.
Well, when you're dead, you're done. So let's live it up. He says, I need to talk to you. He says, and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of what? Strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That's what they say today. You know what? You believe that junk? That's a fairy tale. It's not true. You have never heard people say that?
Sure.
You know what? That's why it's so important to hear. Because even today, the closer you get to the Lord and His Word in the book, the more is challenged. Your belief is challenged. Even today, sometimes I'll be sitting down and I've seen some wonderful things the Lord has showed me in His Word. You, all of us. And I always think sometimes, you'll get that doubt. It says, you really don't believe that, do you? And it's like, for a split second, you're like, she's like, and then it always goes back. He always shows you something else that says, you can trust me. Trust me. You can trust me. And it's written. And that's the good thing about it. You can go back and it's still there. He says, verse 19, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange, verse 20, Frank, strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now here we are, thousands of years later. Remember we just read this verse that he says that the heavens declare what? His handiwork. It declares the glory of God. They spoke, but they didn't retain that in their knowledge. Here's people thousands of years down the line, and they're idol worshipers. He says, maybe you haven't heard. Maybe the message didn't come through clear enough. But Paul says now, he says he's communicating now through another creation. People, men, we call them prophets, apostles. And he picked Paul and he says, now you go tell them what I said. So they would be without excuse. So he goes and he says, you have this inscription to the unknown God. They were agnostic.
They were AA people.
They were AA. He says, you don't know me? He says, I'll take care of that. He says, go tell him, Paul. And Paul says, him, he says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, he says, him declare I unto you. 24. God that, Shira, that what?
Made the world.
Shira.
It's butchered all the time.
God that made the world and all things therein. Sound like what we just read, doesn't it? He says, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. We live on this different continents. Remember we just talked about it? Their line went out through the... This continent was broken up in sections. You know, we don't... Well, you can see that it's got different... If you looked at the earth, you know, sometimes you see the big earth picture and there's different continents. And the Lord says, you know, there was a theory, and this not a theory, it's true, and I'll draw this. It was kind of like the earth. You know, it's kind of shaped like that in the beginning. And they call it like a giant landmass called a Pangaea, like all the earth. And he says, well, this is broken up. You know, now you got a continent over there, you know, maybe a continent there. You got like Africa there. And you got another place out here. You know how the earth is broken up. And the Lord says, I did that. Right here. He says, I did that. I determined the bounds of their habitation. Why'd you do that? He said this. Because that they should what?
Seek the Lord.
If happily, or perhaps, or maybe, they might feel after him, and what? And find him. Though he be not far from what? Every one of you. He says, okay, I'm putting this out here, because I'm going to make sure you get it. You know what? That's like, I've just thought about the Passover again, is he says, every house, you pick the lamb. You got a choice. He said, I'm not making you do this. He says, you want to get out of this mess? You pick your lamb. For the size of your house. Didn't he say that?
Every house had to do it.
Every house. Every nation, that's what's wrong with us now. United States, I'm saying, is we're the melting pot. And so we get over here, and everybody is their own authority. So they says, well, I like this God. Well, what makes your God? Well, I like this God. But he's got them separated, and it's kind of like this. What do you say? I say this, okay? What do you say? What do you say? And they're separate where he can deal with them and be just. You know, he's got them separated and he can make them. He can make them accountable, even though individuals are accountable too. But there's a time coming where he'll be dealing with them as nations. With a nation. Well, that's not to get to you, Norm. But he says, though he be not far from every one of you. That's that conscious again. Right? He gives him another shot. He says, him I declare unto you. Here's the answer. He says, verse 28. We just keep going. He says, for in him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God what? Winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he, God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath what?
Ordained.
Wonder who that man is. Whereof he hath given us given assurance unto all men, in that he what?
Raised
him from the dead. Who is that man?
Jesus Christ.
Romans 3. You know what? We call that man, he has some titles. Paul said, that man, we know the man, Christ Jesus. We just read it. He said, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, that man. He says, now that man, because God wants you to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, he says, it all boils down to all those revelations. He says, my last revelation is that man. He says, because everything's bottled up in that man. Because that man's be the man, he's going to judge you. You know why he's going to judge you? Because that's the man that what? Died for you. That's the man that made it possible for you to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Chapter 3, verse 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in that man, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You're saying God has put that man forth as a sacrifice for us. And we're skipping a lot, but you know what tells us that? The book.
The word.
Do you know what tells us that? He's got it recorded. Where he can tell you, now here's something that you can believe. You don't have to wait for, you know what, the sign. You know, they took the creation and they said, well, it just happened. You know, it exploded and there it is. Or they take the horoscope and it says, well, there's a lot of stuff out there, but that's this. And then they go through and they say, well, those prophets, we don't know about those guys. You know, they just said some things. We don't know if we can really trust it or not. But he's compiled it throughout the years. And he says, every time you open it up and read it, he says, I'm speaking to you. And it's for us to have faith in it. And he's left us without excuse. He's told us from Genesis to Revelation about that man and what that man has done. And he says, that man is our sacrifice. He records it. And this is today is the day for salvation. Now, tomorrow, when you come back, we come back to do what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. But he says it's all his will that all men be and
gotta be
saved first. You know, you don't graduate without even going to school, right? Unless you do you still have to go if online. You still have to go to school, right? 1 Corinthians 15, and we're gonna stop. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare, there's that word again, declare that what? Unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what?
Saved,
if you keep in memory what I declared unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ, what? That man died for your sins. That man was what? And he died for our sins according to the according to the God's word. God recorded it. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. What? According to the 500 brethren.
No.
According to the disciples. According to the scriptures. He says, now this, you believe this, this is the gospel of your what?
Salvation.
That he died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again, third day, for you, for me. He said, that is what saves you from the wrath. It's God's will that all be saved. Yes.
And people complicate that. Simple. And everybody makes it.
It's simple. It's simple because you what? You believe the authority. You don't have to argue with it. You say, yeah, I believe that. That's why he wrote it down there according to the what?
Scriptures.
Because if you don't believe scriptures, you can say, well, whatever. Right? It's just an opinion. That's why when he said, I want to declare unto you the God that you ignorantly worship. He doesn't want you ignorant. He wants you to be saved and come to the what?
Knowledge
of the truth. We're a long way down the road because we've already been saved, and we got a little bit of this under our belt too. And we want more. We're on the truth road. But that's square one, is to be saved. And that's something that you have to trust him. I can't trust him for you. When I say trust him, I'm saying Nesty Plunge kind of trust. You remember that commercial? Or you know what? You can't take the plunge and start reaching out for things. You have to totally trust him that he died for your sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. If he took the painstaking care to record his word and everything that he has done, and that's part of the truth. If he took that kind of care, I can trust him. You can trust him. I trust him. And the only person that can tell that if you made that heart transaction is you. And where they say, you know what, it's a personal decision. And that, what I like is, like our pastors say, you don't have to get up. You don't have to raise your hand. And he would say this, you don't even have to bat your eye. He said, you can sit right in your seat. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You say, Lord, I believe what you did on my behalf. I'm trusting you, not me. And then he says, well, great. Now we could go on to learn some things. Can we go on to learn some things?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. All right, there. Lifetime of learning. Lifetime of learning. So, I don't know if that. I did. I'm. Well, we started at 15 after, so I'm really 10 minutes early. So we're going to stop there, and if you have a question, we can talk about it. Lord, we thank you for the time spent around your word. We just pray that something was said that you could use to enlighten us, to prick our hearts. Give us a deeper understanding. Give us confidence in your word. And Lord, above all things, help us to trust you for salvation. Believe that we can trust your word, that we can trust you not only in salvation, but also to go on and get the knowledge of the truth that will equip us to walk worthy and well-pleasing in your sight. We thank you for those here tonight, Lord. Strengthen us. Help our unbelief. And we just thank you for the time we spent. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So who are the Stoics?